the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the Arizona Cardinals site from the USA Today NFL Wire. And this is episode 402, and it is a special episode, as is we had just a few days ago. We brought on DK Devon Kennard to talk, now a former Cardinal, but we have a current Cardinals player on with us in this show today. Coming off his rookie season, offensive lineman Lasitas Smith. Lasitas was featured pretty heavily on one of the Hard Knocks episodes before he got his first start in the NFL. Lasitas, I thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming on the show. How's everything been for you personally?
All is great. First of all, thank you very much for having me. But all has been well. I'm still here in town training at the facility and just ready to go.
So we kind of want to go through a whole lot of things because, oh my gosh, what a rookie year for you. I mean, honestly, I mean, just the experience of getting drafted, going through your first training camp and having a season the way it went. I would say that's not a normal season. I've covered the Cardinals for a long time. I grew up a Cardinals fan, so I've been following the team since about 1989, 1990. So, but even in recent history, I've never seen a year go quite as awry as this one. And it's just weird stuff on and off the field from day one. Obviously, you got to play earlier than you expected to play. That's a positive. Right. But the losing wasn't a positive. And then going through changes on the roster, the situation with some coaches. And now you get, you know, 1 year in, you get to experience an entire new coaching change, not just coaching change, but basically the entire team that drafted you is gone. So you get to experience that. So let's take you back, Lasitas, to the rookie year experience. So let's go back. What did you learn most of? What did you learn most in your rookie season? And who were the guys that you were able to lean on in the locker room and on the coaching staff in your rookie season?
Well, first and foremost, I would like to say the number one thing I learned was to be ready when your number is called. Be ready without a doubt, no matter what's going on. Obviously, if you can step out onto that field and you're not injured or anything like that and they call upon you, you better be ready to go and be able to put your best foot forward and play your best game. So that's one thing I learned, to be ready when your number is called. And guys I leaned on the most was definitely – guys in that locker room, guys like Kelvin Beachum, guys like Rodney Hudson, Will Hernandez. What I like so much, I always say that I feel like I was very lucky and blessed to end up in the room that I was in, because I've heard stories that are kind of horror stories that, you know, every room isn't like that, but that was a very vet-studded room, and they looked out there as young guys just after each other, period. You know, if I had any question, I could go to not only my O-line coach, but I could go to just about anybody in that room, and they would help me out. So I was very lucky and grateful for that.
Absolutely. That group between Hump and Pugh and Rodney, Will, who is new to the team as well, but Kelvin, who's been there for a while, has been there a couple of years, and not only that, but lots of experience on the team. What did you now? An interesting year with the offensive line because of the number of injuries. Obviously, Everyone but Kelvin on that starting lineup ended up on IR at some point. Plus Cody, plus pretty much the injuries hit everyone. And I know when we talked last time before you got the start against the Rams, you know, going into this year, you didn't expect to play. You were saying how to be ready for that. How much of an adjustment did you have to make personally that particular week when you knew that you were going to be playing?
Honestly, it wasn't much of an adjustment. I mean, it was just the kind of thing where in the back of my mind, I'm like, you're playing. You're playing. You know, it was just kind of that voice kind of going on in the back of my mind. But it wasn't the type of thing where it's like, oh, man, I'm starting this week. I got to start watching film, or I got to start training harder, because since day one, since I stepped in the Cardinals facility, I've been training as hard as I can. I watch my tape. You know, I'm making sure I'm watching ball week in and week out before I ever got to start, and even afterwards when I wasn't playing as much. So, you know, it wasn't too much that changed for me. It was just kind of a voice going off in the back of my head, like, this is actually happening. But no, I stayed up kind of late, like I always do, just clicking through film, just clicking through, watching it week in and week out. So it wasn't too much of a change for me.
I recall a couple of scenes on Hard Knocks that they showed. They showed a couple of parts in practice where you're struggling with something. And then they showed a dinner, I think it was, when Kyler was talking to you, that was coaching. I'd say, hey, just do this, just do this. How much more stressful was that week in particular for you? When obviously you're installing a game plan where you're starting there on the offensive line, and they're obviously, your teammates are counting on you more than perhaps another week.
Right. It was really stressful because I wanted to be right. And that's the thing about me is even when I'm not playing, we're not going into a game and coach is like, hey, you're up. Even if I'm going into a game as a backup, whether it's practice or walkthroughs or whatever, I want to be right. Like being right. You know, if it's supposed to be done this way, I want to do it that way. If it's supposed to look like this, I want to make it look like that. So, you know, that's the thing about me. And I think I put so much pressure on myself to do just right, like by the book. And, you know, for people that watched that episode, when we were sitting down at the dinner spot and heard K1 or Kyler talking to me about, man, don't think, just go, just do. It's like, yeah, like, of course, you know, I'm not a robot. He's like, man, don't be robotic about it. I'm like, I'm not a robot. You know, I'm going to play my game, but I just want to make sure it's right. If you sit down and watch film, I won't. Coach Kugler at the time, I want him to sit down and be like, great, see, that's exactly how I want to look. That's what it's supposed to be like. So that's what I try to put on display for the coaches and on tape, you know, for my other offensive linemen. So I think I put a lot of stress on myself just being right. Just, I want to be right. I want to do it exactly how they would like it done.
Now, when we talk, it was before the start. Looking back, how do you feel that you did in that game?
I feel like I played well. Especially, you know, being a young guy with very, like, with really no experience except for that Seahawks game right before. So really barely any experience at all. I feel like I played well. There are definitely things to clean up, things that I could have did better. And I knew that from, you know, getting on that flight and on the way home when I was watching tape, you know. So there were things that definitely needed to be cleaned up and whatnot. But I feel like overall I played well. It was a fun game, I'll say that.
I bet. It was, you know, it didn't have the result y'all wanted. But much of this rest of the season went that way. And that was, I mean, that's hard on everyone. That's hard on the fans. It's hard on the players. And I think it was Vance, VJ, in one of his press conferences, was talking about how hard and how much you put into the preparation to win, and just how emotionally draining and how difficult it is to then not win. Just the emotional tool, in addition to that, because football's really, like, I've never played football, obviously. It's a very, very, very demanding thing physically. It pushes your body to the limits. But then the emotional tax, the mental tax of that you're invested in doing this and believing. So you go into the game believing you can beat this other team, and then to have it not play out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like you said, it definitely sucks because there's a whole lot that goes into it throughout the week, and more than, you know, some people even know, physically, mentally, you know, you have to make sacrifices playing this game, a lot too. So, you know, with the sacrifices you made, you know, and putting your body on the line and mentally straining yourself, and then to go out and put your best foot forward and it's still not happening for you, like you said, it can be very draining.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's continue our conversation with Lacidus, talking more about the season and how it played out, things that happened on and off the field. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. Still on the line with Lacidus Smith, now entering his second season, finished his rookie year with the Cardinals, got the one start. He's got a year under his belt. Obviously, we know how the season ended up. Lots of losses to end things out, and it's interesting how most of those played out. There was a half of competitive football and a second half that just fell, and that's actually how the season went. The first half fairly competitive, and then the second half of the season everything kind of got away. What are your thoughts on entering, obviously going through that as a rookie, what, from your perspective, was it that went wrong with the team?
Oh, man. The thing is, I don't know if there's just one answer or anything like that. I think it's just, after you lose so many games and it's like, well, you know, you're not going to the playoffs anymore. It's like, maybe that can get inside of some guys' minds, you know, and it's just, okay, what are we fighting for at this point? But I mean, you know, so it can be tough. Like I said, it's a lot tougher than people think. It's like, you know, you're willing to, you got to think, you know, you go out there for that very first game. Everybody's willing to run through a brick wall. And it's the very first game. You're hyped. It's the first time you get to play against someone else in a minute. And it's a real game. Your fans are going crazy. But once it actually gets late in the season, not only are you mentally tired, you're physically tired. Every day is the same. You know, whatever time you get into that facility to the time you leave, that's every single day. So it's the same thing. So it becomes a lot. It is. It's a lot. It takes a whole lot to play in this league. So by the end of the season, you know, we're not winning and we're not going to the playoffs. I think it kind of weighed down on some guys more than others. So, going into this season, this season here, if we could all just stay bought in and just continue to fight and continue to drive, then hopefully we have a better outcome.
Did it feel like that? Because there was one thing that Cliff noted and Vance noted, and we could see it on the field, is that for the most part, the effort was there. That players were giving forth. They weren't giving up on games. There might be a player here where you might be able to say that. And there was the one play in particular where Ham on film looked like it when it was more of a mental thing than a physical thing when he let Kittle score. He thought he was running out of bounds. But that's the one that got the criticism on television. But for the most part, the effort was there. But it sort of felt like it was a snowball effect that we just never could get control of. Is that how it felt in the locker room? You guys are trying, and it just felt like things were just out. You never could get things back on track.
Yes. Because, I mean, I'll speak personally and say, I mean, because I never lost that many games, like, consistently, like, just back-to-back-to-back. I mean, college, we weren't – it's not like, we were just so great at Virginia Tech. We won so many games and – you know, we didn't win any national championships or anything like that. We didn't go to playoffs or anything. So we weren't just this great team, but I just never lost that many games like that ever in my career. So it sucked. You put in all that time and effort and then you go out there and it's like week after week after week, it's the same result. It's a lot. So, like I said, you know, as long as we stay bought in and just keep fighting for each other, look at one another and, you know, don't fight for anybody outside the locker room or anything like that. Just look at your brother and fight for the guy next to you. Then I think we'll be all right.
Not to talk about the specifics of what happened off the field that led to it, but how was the adjustment for you as a player and for the room to hear the news that Cougs got let go, like, abruptly, and then to quickly have to change to go with Coach Hayden after that? How impactful was that to you and the room when you heard the news? And then, two, how did things play out after that with Coach Hayden?
For one, it was very, very crazy. We got the news, and then we still had to go out and play a game. So, it was very tough, especially getting something like that the morning of a game. So, you know, it happened. Of course, I won't go into detail about the situation, but it just sucks that whatever happened. And, like I said, it was the morning of a game, so you still have to be locked in. It's like, it doesn't matter. Go out there and play your best game. So it sucked, is what I'll say. But when Coach Hayden took over, I barely spoke to Coach Hayden before that. You know, of course, he was a tight ends coach He was an O-line coach. And we barely said anything to each other. But once he became the offensive line coach, we talked to a whole lot more. Obviously, he was coaching me, but I learned to know him really well and love him as a coach and as a guy. I feel like he's a really good dude and an even better coach. So, like I said, I learned to love him as a coach, and it was great to interact with him. And I'm glad that they chose him as the guy.
Awesome. So, as we look at that, what were your impressions in your rookie season? Obviously, like Cliff was let go. But what were your impressions of Cliff as a head coach? And you know, there's been a lot said about Kyler all over nationally, locally. What were your impressions as a rookie of Cliff as a coach and Kyler as a teammate and a quarterback?
So my impression of Cliff, I do believe that Cliff Kingsbury is a really good coach. I think he probably has a different approach to a lot of coaches, but he is the way he is. And he didn't change or anything like that. He is who he is as a guy. He is who he is as a coach. And his style is, I mean, it's the NFL. You know, everyone's grown. You know, you're here to do a job. You get paid good money to do it, so you're expected to do it. So that was his mindset on things. I mean, he's not the type of guy to get in your face and yell, and you better do this, you better do that. And this is my first team. This is my first year. So I can't speak on many different coaches around the league because I don't know. But just even being in college, it was more so like coaches kind of, you know, trying to get you going, get certain players going to do things or had to yell or however they had to do it. But it's like with him, it's not that. It's like you're an adult, do your job, do it well. So that's the approach he has to the game. And, you know, that's how he operates. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a good guy. Obviously, that's just the business side of it. If things don't work out, then what happens, happens. You know, that's the business side of it. As far as Kyler, you know, there is a lot being said about Kyler and this misconception of him being just a very selfish dude, a bad guy, and different things like that. I said on different interviews, I have not seen that side of him. You won't hear me say anything negative because I have nothing negative to say. He hasn't acted rudely toward me or very selfish toward me or anything like that. You know, I saw him today in the facility getting treatment. Dapped him up, said what's up, you know, what's going on and whatnot. So, like I said, I have nothing but good things to say about him because
And that's the thing that, you know, with everything that we hear about him, it always comes from outside the organization. But mm-hmm. You ever hear anything from his teammates, everyone has really good things to say about him, whether it's right. Zach or Christian Kirk when he was here the year before, Chase right. Edmonds, like literally like anyone who's within the locker room always has good things to say about Kyler. And obviously he didn't have his best. Like he knows he didn't have his best season last year. There's a lot of reasons for that. But do you see the talent that a lot of people see in him being a potential superstar in this league?
Yes, I do. That's you know, that's my QB. And at the end of the day, I think with him as our guy, we can go out there and win a lot of football games and Super Bowls as well. I truly, truly hope one day, you know, he's able to make it to a Super Bowl. I mean, hopefully I'm here for the ride and I'm still on the team, but hopefully we go to a Super Bowl one year and actually get this thing done because I do believe he's the guy to do it. I mean, you know, he's our guy. You know, I'm proud to say that's my QB. So I can't wait to get back out there with him next season whenever he's able to get back healthy and ready to go. Can't wait to get out there with him and win games.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk some more, kind of wrap things up, but talking about moving forward, new coaching staff, goals for the offseason, and more. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best star of Cardinals talk on the web. Cardinals have a new general manager. They have a new head coach. You have a new position coach now. So far, what are your impressions now? I don't recall seeing that. Were you there for Coach Gannon's press conference?
No, I was not there. I was in town, but I wasn't able to stop by the facility. I was a little busy, but no, I was in town.
But what interactions have you had with him so far, and what are your impressions of him just in the short amount of time that he's been the guy as the head coach?
Well, I actually just shook his hand yesterday and introduced myself. So, I mean, of course, I've seen him and a general manager walking, you know, all throughout the building and, you know, kind of getting things done. I mean, you know, every time I see them, they're walking fast and they're having conversations and things. Like you said, they just got hired. So there's a building process happening and, you know, I'm excited for it. But I haven't really interacted with either one very much at all because obviously there's a lot going on. You have the draft right around the corner. You have the combine coming up. So it has not really been a sit down period where I was able to sit down and we just conversated and talk or anything like that.
Looking ahead to this offseason, obviously, probably the exit interviews you had were with everyone who's no longer with the team. That said,
yeah.
what are your personal goals for this coming off season, and what was asked of you to prepare for next season? Do you know if the plan is for you to play more guard or to play more center, or if you are planning on doing either or?
Yeah, so that part is a little stressful. If I'm just being honest, you know, I had that exit meeting with my previous coaches and with Coach Kingsbury. I literally had a meeting with him, left, and then, you know, the news came out literally like 30 minutes later.
Right.
So it sucked. And I had a good exit meeting with him. But Coach Kingsbury was just telling me, like, man, you know, you're a good dude. You know, we can see that you're a hardworking guy, and, you know, you're a good football player, and you're going to continue to get better year in and year out. So I had, like I said, a really good exit meeting with him. I think with the old staff, I think they wanted to mold me into a center, which I'm completely fine with. They know I can play both guard spots. I can play right and left if they need me to. I can play center. I played a good bit of center last camp, and I feel like I did an okay job, but obviously I want to get better every year at all three interior positions. But, I mean, just to put that out there, I can play all three interior positions, whether that's both guard spots. If they want to throw me at center, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with having that ball in my hand every single snap. So I'm just putting that out there, and I believe that's what the previous staff was trying to get me going at the center spot. They were training me there. So, you know, this new staff, I can play that center spot, and, you know, that's what I aim to do this year. I really would love to earn a role and that starting O-line, and I feel like I have a good chance because I don't just play one position. You know, I can play multiple. So with that being said, my goals this year is to earn a starting role in that offensive line. And, you know, I'm going to show these guys just as well as I showed the previous staff. I'm a hardworking dude. I'm a smart guy. I'm a dog on the field. Hardworking, so, and I'm definitely accountable. So when it comes time for OTAs and camp, I'll definitely show them what I want to do this year.
That's awesome. Now, as you enter this off season, how much time are you taking off? Obviously, NFL, you have to with the type of physical drain you like. Now, granted, J.J. Watt and his one day off or a week off, and then he starts training. What do you have a plan, or, and is it different than it was in college now? Your physical plan, how much time you're going to take off, and then how you ramp back up for next season?
Yes. For one, it is different from college. It's a lot different from college. I remember getting towards the end of this previous season and talking to some of the vets, and I'm just trying to figure this thing out. Like, what is this? Because this is about to be my first offseason, of course. So I'm like, man, how does this work? When do we have to report back? And they told me, I think it's early April, if I'm not mistaken. And I remember them telling me that. And me just thinking back in college, like I said, I went to Virginia Tech. So we went to a bowl game every single year I was there. So the bowl games are usually right after Christmas, pretty much. So all I know is I have a bowl game. I have about 2 weeks off, and then it's straight back to school because I have to finish up the spring semester, and then spring ball is going to come up. So it was a quick turnaround. Like I said, at most, I got 2 weeks off. And then to hear, like, oh, man, you're going to have about 3 months. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What am I even going to do for that much time, like 3.5 months or something like that? I'm like, what am I even going to do? So it's been really good this far. Right after the season ended, I went – me and my girlfriend took a trip to Washington, D.C. to see her family. And very soon here, I'm going to see mine as well. And, you know, I've kind of been hanging out. I've been spending a lot of time in town training at the facility with our strength staff. So I've been working out a whole lot.
Good stuff. Awesome. Well, Lasitas Smith, looking forward to impressing the new coaching staff. He has a new position coach. We've heard the reports. He tells me, like, I guess I can – quote unquote break news, even though the news is already broken, that yes, in fact, Clayton Adams is going to be his new position coach with the Cardinals. A lot of things coming up. Lasitas Smith, hopefully we will see you in the starting lineup this next year. It will be fantastic to see one of these later drafted players develop into something, as we saw a little bit last year. But this is Lasitas Smith entering a second, his first offseason as the Arizona Cardinals, entering his year two. Lasitas, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you very much. You have a great one.
All right. Take care. And that wraps up this edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. This was episode 402. That was Lasitas Smith. We'll be back next week talking more Cardinals. I believe the next episode we will have will come, if I don't do another show in the weekend, it will come next week with Seth as we talk more Cardinals football breakdown, sort of the offseason. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up C-Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.